Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Lord," she replied, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. And so, there is a video online that has gone absolutely viral. I don't know if you've seen it, but it was a video of a man doing an interview with the BBC in Great Britain. That's kind of the British equivalent of the CBC out here. And what happened was he was doing this interview from his home office. And as he's doing this interview on live television, his toddler comes walking into the room. She opens the door. And in she waltzes, and you can see that the dad sees her in the background and is kind of trying to push her out of the way. In fact, he gets his hand right in her face and pushes her to the side. And then, to add insult to injury, in walks one of the babies in kind of like this stroller cart thing, and in this little baby comes. So here comes the baby, and then I don't know if it was the mom or the nanny, but she comes bolting into the room in this, and she starts dragging the kids. Books are falling off the table, and it's just a horrible, horrible mess. You felt bad for the nanny or the mom or whoever it was. But this is all happening on live television. There's nothing that this man can do about it. It's not like they can say, "Can we redo this?" He's doing this interview on the intricacies of politics in North and South Korea or something like that, and he's got his kids running in. So I don't know what you do when you get into a situation beyond your control, whether it's an unexpected bill, perhaps an unexpected illness, a challenging situation at work or with your family. We always have these things that come up, and they're unexpected. And just like that man having his live interview, he couldn't control anything. And there's a lot of things in our life that we can't control. He couldn't even control the fact that this went viral. Over the weekend, it's had over 5 or 6 million views already. Man, talk about being the kind of person to see that, hey? That's not the way you want to become famous. So how do we tend to respond to the challenges that exist in our life, whether it has to do with a life of faith or when you endure certain things in your work? We all have challenges. And today we're going to observe what on the surface honestly seems like a very odd story about this woman who comes and how her faith really is an inspiration to us today. We begin our story and we see that Jesus left that place being the house that is mentioned in verse 17 in chapter 7, and he moves into the vicinity of Tyre. Now, this is significant because this is a Gentile area. This is not an area where Jews would have gone. A Gentile, for those of you maybe unfamiliar with the biblical language, is simply just someone who is a non-Jew. So someone who doesn't follow the Jewish law, doesn't follow the Jewish way of doing things, as Jesus would have, being an Old Testament Jew at the time. And so he goes into Tyre, and we are told that he enters a house and did not want anyone to know it. So, yet he could not keep his presence a secret. Jesus is obviously trying to get out of the area where he is in Galilee and perhaps take this time to rest, perhaps provide some time to teach his disciples and be with them kind of more on a one-on-one basis. But as we know from Mark chapter 3, Jesus is even known in Tyre. If you go back to chapter 3, verse 7 or verse 8, you see that Jesus is known even as far north as Tyre. Tyre was to the north of Galilee. It would kind of be like us going to Nineveh or something like that. Kind of out of our way, but we get out of there and are able to perhaps find some rest, perhaps teach his disciples more privately. And we are informed that he cannot keep this a secret. In fact, this woman comes and she hears about him, and we are told significant details about her. First, we are told the reason why she's coming. She's coming because her daughter has an impure spirit. She has an unclean spirit, which would have been more common. We saw this back when Jesus went into the Decapolis, right? When he goes into that area, what's the first thing that he sees? A man who is demon-possessed. And again, as he goes into this region, this Gentile region that doesn't have the good news of God in their midst, he sees another woman whose daughter is demon-possessed. And so he has to do something about this. This woman comes, and we are told that she is Greek, by which Mark means Gentile. Paul uses this as well. He says Jew or Greek sometimes in his letters, and what he means is Gentile. And we find that she was born in Syria and Phoenicia, which is kind of just north of Tyre. So it's all kind of in the same area. And she begs Jesus to drive the demon out from her daughter. The reason why Mark tells us these details is because it implies that this woman was not part of the family of faith. This woman probably worshipped and served other gods at some point in her life. She was not someone who followed the Jewish God. She was not someone who was open to that kind of thing up until this point. When she comes and she gets on her knees toward Jesus and she begs him to heal her daughter. In Matthew, it's more clear, but in the Greek here, in this translation, the word that's used, it's this idea, the tense that's used is this idea that she's begging over and over and over again. Matthew kind of brings this out a little more clearly in his account in Matthew 15, where this woman is constantly begging and begging. She even calls Jesus Lord, Son of David. So it's obvious in the Matthew account that this woman has an idea of who Jesus is. Maybe not fully, but she's calling him the Son of David. She's calling him the Messiah. This Gentile woman has an idea of who Jesus is. She is continually begging, continually coming, but is also respectful. She is persistent in her faith, relentless in her pursuit of Jesus, longing that Jesus would come and drive this demon out of her daughter. And then Jesus says perhaps some of the strangest words in Scripture. These words have been the source of debate among scholars, but he says these words to her. He says, "First, let the children eat all they want, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." What is Jesus saying here? What is Jesus getting at? I think there's a couple things we can look at here first. First off, there will be some who will say that Jesus is comparing Gentiles to dogs. That they are, for Jewish people, they are kind of unclean animals because at this point in time, dogs, there are two different kinds of dogs, right? There's the wild dogs who are scavengers who kind of eat up all the dead stuff around. And so for some Jews, they were unclean. And then you get into some areas and people would own smaller dogs or smaller puppies. And so the word that Jesus uses here is actually the Greek word for little dog. I looked it up. Every other time that the Greek word for dog is used, it's talking about those bigger dogs, those scavenger dogs. So anytime, say that Paul, for example, calls some false teachers dogs, or we also see this in Revelation, he's talking about those scavenger dogs. He's talking about those dogs that are unclean, that are evil in a sense. The dog that Jesus is talking about here is a small dog. Is a puppy dog, is the kind of dog that you would actually see in a Gentile household. Jesus is using, in my mind, something that this woman would have seen every day. Small dogs living in a home with a family. This is the image that he uses, because notice what he says. He says, first let the children eat all they want, for it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. That implies that there are dogs in the house that they can toss it to. And so Jesus is using a figure of speech to try to encourage the faith of this woman. Because what he is saying here is, let the children, that is the people of Israel, eat all they want. Matthew makes this more clear in his account. He says that Jesus stated that he was called to the lost sheep of Israel. That was his mission, that was his ministry, was to the people of Israel. Why? Because he was their Messiah. But Jesus has also gone into Gentile regions. Why? To show his disciples that one day you're going to have to take the gospel beyond Israel and go out into the world. You're going to have to go out into the Gentiles. And so notice the term that he uses. He says, first, let the children eat all they want. He's saying that Israel will receive the good news first. They're the chosen people of God. They're the ones who will receive the good news. For it is not right to take the children's bread, the blessing of the gospel, the blessing of the good news, and toss it to the dogs. He says, we need to take this to Israel first, and then the Gentiles will get the good news. But notice what he's done here. He's left the door open on a couple of accounts. He said first, implying that there is a blessing for this woman if she seeks it. If she will seek it, he's inviting her. He's saying, come on, keep going. Keep going. Don't stop here. Persist in your faith. Show my disciples what true faith is looking like. Because remember the disciples? What were the disciples doing every time a storm came up? They were screaming. They were scared. Anytime they came into difficulty, what do? They freak out and they get nervous. Jesus presents a little bit of difficulty for this woman to show his disciples what kind of faith they need to grow into. This woman shows an incredible amount of faith in comparison with the disciples and with the Pharisees who are just mentioned earlier. The Pharisees and the disciples don't show much faith. We're told in Mark that both of them harden their hearts toward Jesus. But what we see with this woman is when she faces a little bit of pushback from Jesus, he does it so that he can display her faith to the other disciples. He does this to open their eyes because notice what she says. She says, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. It's an incredibly witty response. She says, Lord, have you seen how children eat? I have a toddler. I know how children eat. None of the food stays on the table. It all goes to the floor. And back in this day, dogs would eat up any food that kind of went on the ground. That's what they do. You've all seen this, I'm sure, where a dog, if it's not very well trained, will come in there and just get whatever's fallen on the ground. And she says, Lord, even the little puppy dogs, they're able to find blessing from the children. They're able to get the food that they need and they want. And this is a response that Jesus absolutely loves. And this woman's great faith shows her persistence, her continual trust in Jesus. Jesus tested her faith, and this woman prevails with an incredibly witty response. And my question for us this morning is, how do we respond when things get difficult? Do we respond as the disciples do, where we kind of give up, where we kind of scream, where we kind of get upset? Or do we respond like this woman with a persistence, knowing that in the character of Jesus, there is something good? She knows that Jesus has something good. She knows that's within his nature. And so she seeks him out and continues to persist in her faith. And Jesus, I think, is trying to point out to his disciples, you see this Gentile woman who knows nothing of God up until this point? You need to have faith like this. You've grown up with this faith. You've grown up with this idea of God, and you actually need to grow in your persistence and in your trust of God. Do you trust him? Do you trust him, my disciples? Because persistent faith enables us to work for the kingdom in a way that we wouldn't be able to otherwise. Imagine if the disciples, right, after Jesus had left and they got persecuted, and they said, oh no, people don't like us anymore. Oh well, I guess this can't be right, and so we'll just give up. Jesus had to develop their persistence. He had to. If they didn't get persistence, if they didn't get persistent in their faith and trust the God who had saved them, they weren't going to be able to do the mission. As believers, we have to know that God doesn't give us everything on a silver platter. As believers, we have to persist in the mission. We have to persist in our faith, just as this woman is persisting in her faith for her daughter who is lost and has a demon. He persists in her faith for her. And who are those who we are persisting in our faith for? we can sometimes give up. We can sometimes just be like, well, it can't be that big of a deal. But Jesus shows us through the faith of this woman that actually persistence shows the world a completely different way of living than how we normally live. If you're anything like me, I like the path of least resistance. But Jesus, by giving us the path of more resistance, actually shows us and shows the world a different kind of faith, a different kind of living, a way of living that shows that we trust in the goodness of God even when we don't necessarily see it right away. It's a trust that continues no matter what. I was looking and found this story of a woman in the United States who lost her wedding ring. She had thrown it in the garbage after cooking up supper that Sunday evening. And when the garbage truck came that Monday morning, she had realized, oh no, I threw my wedding rings in the garbage. And so she rushed out into the street and she stopped the garbage man. And the garbage man stopped and said, how can I help you? And she said, I threw my wedding rings in the trash. And so Colleen Dykeman was her name. She goes through, for 4 hours, we're told, 6 tons of trash. This woman, in her persistence to find her wedding ring, with a few of the other people who are on the truck, they are going through this truck for 4 hours through approximately 6 tons of trash trying to find this wedding ring, trying to find this treasure of hers. And she found it. Miraculously, she found it. After 4 hours of searching, they said that she was able to find it. And in fact, what she did later was she bought the garbage crew fresh baking and made them some pizza for lunch as appreciation for all that they did in helping her search. She was persistent in her faith in finding this ring. And in the same way, I think that we as believers, when we are persistent in our faith, when we show God that we trust Him, and when we are continually seeking, even though the circumstances may not be pleasant, it shows the world a different kind of thinking and a different way of living. Because all of the... What do you do as an atheist when you run into suffering? What do you do with that? You have absolutely nothing to do with that. It's meaningless. It's purposeless. And this woman continues to seek God. What do you do with any of the other world religions where it's kind of like, it kind of comes to the point where if you're good, good things will happen to you, right? That's kind of the basic definition. And we show a different kind of way of going after God. We, like this woman, say, though He slay me, I will hope in Him. That's from Job 13, verse 15. That though God slay me, I will continue to hope in Him. It shows the world a different kind of living, a different kind of faith, and it was a faith that the disciples lacked. And so then we see Jesus' response to this woman, and it is salvation. The result of her persistent faith was the salvation of her daughter. Then He told her, "For such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Friends, what's so beautiful about this woman is that she simply lays herself at Jesus' feet and puts herself at His mercy. And this is the invitation that Jesus gives to each one of us as well, is to put ourselves at His mercy, because this is the essence of a powerful walk with God. Mercy is compassion toward a person, particularly a person worthy of punishment. And when we look at the details of this woman, she's not worthy, in a sense, of mercy. She's a Gentile. She's probably a polytheist up until this point. She's probably someone who hasn't walked with God all her life. She is someone who the disciples would have considered unclean, right? Remember earlier where the Pharisees had to wash their hands in chapter 7? Why? Because they were afraid that if they had touched a Gentile, they would be unclean. This woman was unclean. She wasn't worthy of mercy. She hadn't earned it. But that's the problem, is that by definition, mercy is not something that is earned. It's something that's given. You see, so often we think of God's mercy as something that we have to attain, something that we have to work toward. And Jesus shows that actually all that you have to have is faith, that you have to trust. But it's a faith that you don't have to have just one time. It's a continual faith. It's a continual working with and walking with Jesus. And Jesus shows this woman incredible mercy. She's not worthy of mercy. She just falls at his feet and says, whatever you want to do, Jesus, I'm with you. But notice, Lord, that I'm not looking for all of the blessing. I'm just looking for a crumb. I'm just looking for a crumb of blessing. Can you spare that? I'm willing to take whatever you can give me. What can you give me? I'll take a crumb. And a crumb of blessing was worth far more than we can imagine. This woman was willing to walk with Jesus, even fall at his feet in a very humble position, and continually beg him, because she knew that as she sought Jesus' mercy, her daughter would receive it. That was her faith. That's what she was trusting in. And ultimately, we know that God in his nature is good. We know that. The Bible promises us that he is good. And that there is, John says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. There is no darkness at all. That we can trust that God is good, and that in everything, whatever is going on in our lives, we can trust that it is part of his good plan, and that he has a purpose for us. Just as Jesus had a purpose for bringing out this woman's faith in the life of the disciples, I think that Jesus has a purpose for us when we are going through suffering and when we are going through times where we wonder, Lord, where are you? Where we have to persist in our walk with him. Friends, if we're honest with ourselves, we're just like this Gentile woman. We don't deserve mercy. We don't deserve grace. The Bible tells us that we deserve God's punishment and wrath. It says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are by nature children of wrath. In other words, worthy of God's punishment. There's no one who seeks God, the Bible says, not even one. And so the question that we have to ask is, are we trusting in our good works and our good ability, or are we like this woman, falling at the mercy of Jesus and saying, Lord, do you have a crumb for me? And I'm truly convinced that Jesus just didn't give her a crumb. I think he gave her the whole loaf. But she was willing to sit there under his mercy and say, Lord, what are you willing to give me? Even the dogs get crumbs. As I was looking through this, C.J. Mahaney, he's a pastor in Louisville, and he says that when people ask him how he's doing, he says, better than I deserve. When people think he is suffering from low self-esteem, he has to explain, no, I just understand who I am and where I deserve to be. I deserve God's wrath, honestly. I deserve to be in hell. But instead, I am God's child. I'm forgiven and loved by him. I'm going to heaven. I'm doing so much better than I deserve. He goes on to write, that perspective fills me with joy even on days when things aren't going as I planned. We all face disappointments and difficult circumstances. Some of us experience deep pain and loss. But regardless of the situation, understanding the gospel lets us marvel at God's love. Understanding the gospel lets us marvel at God's love. And we understand that we as people have been shown mercy. That everything that I have in my life, from my children to my wife to the food on my table to the clothes on my back, are a gift from God, are a gift of his mercy, that what I truly deserve is to be outside of a relationship with God, it changes your perspective. The gospel changes your perspective, because then you are willing to walk with God even if you don't quite understand what he's doing. Even if you don't quite understand what's going on, you're able to walk with him. Why? Because you're doing better than you deserve. Because you know that you are able to be with God forever. And that whatever's going on here right now, if you have put your faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus, you can trust that God has a good plan for you that will result in your salvation. And that what we simply must do is fall at his feet and say, Lord, do you have a crumb? Are you willing to show me mercy. And he does. He is. Friend, if you don't know the gospel, if you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, let me tell you that Jesus came to this world to die for your sin. As I said, I didn't deserve it. No one deserved it. But Jesus died for your sins so that you could be freed from God's wrath. And all that you have to do is fall on your knees before God and say, Lord, have mercy. And he will. You may not understand everything that goes on in your life. I certainly don't understand everything that happens in my life. But as I walk with God, as I persist in my faith with him, I know that in everything, God works for the good of those who love him. And so, friends, as this woman entrusted herself completely to his mercy and her life was changed forever, do we trust that whatever Jesus will give us is best for us? Jesus is making us aware of our need for him and our dependence on him. And so how do we apply this to our lives this week? First, I think that persistent faith is shown in our daily obedience. Are you ready and willing to walk with God and obey him even when it doesn't serve you best? Are you willing to be an honest person even when the truth would hurt? Are you willing to be a person who is open to sharing your faith even if it may cost a dear friendship? Are you ready and willing to care about how your actions show your faith to this world? We must obey Christ even if it costs us. Why? Because he gave up everything for us. This is the God who came down from heaven. And he persisted in faith even when it wasn't to his benefit. Remember, Jesus says in Mark chapter 14, Lord, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Don't make me go through with this. But he says, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus trusted his Father enough to go and die and trust that God would raise him from the dead 3 days later. He trusted in the character of his Father, and he was obedient even to death. And that's our call as well, to be obedient, to trust God, to know that he has a good plan, even when it hurts. Because Jesus said, if you love me, the evidence of that will be that you obey my commandments. What you do shows what you love. And Jesus invites us to persist in faith in that way. But Jesus also invites us to persist in faith, I think, in our prayer life. This woman was before Jesus' throne asking for her daughter's soul. Who are we going before with the souls of our friends and of our neighbors? Which souls have you been praying for persistently for days and for years? Jesus invites us to continue to do that. And do we trust that he has a good plan? I hope that we do. We can trust in our God. When I was a teenager, I remember having to work for my first vehicle and how much time and energy and effort that took. And when I finally was able to afford my first vehicle, which was a Honda Accord, a 2006 Honda Accord, I bought it for something like $6,000 or $7,000, something like that. And it was a great little vehicle. It served me for probably about 6 or 7 years. It was this great little vehicle, but boy, did I treat that thing well. Why? Because I persisted in working. And in the same way, I think sometimes Jesus calls us to persist in faith so that we can see and understand the value of a soul, the value of our prayers, the value of these things, that Jesus just doesn't want us taking them lightly. Jesus invites us to persist because these things are valuable. And as I alluded to before, I also want to point out that persistent faith, I think, shows us that there's a new creation coming. Persistent faith shows a new story, a better story. A story that says, this world is not all there is. There is a better day coming. The day when Jesus will reign over this earth and when we will finally understand everything that's gone on and where there will be no more pain, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more death anymore. Where we are persistent in our faith because we trust that this salvation that Jesus will provide for us will come fully when he returns. There's this great little book If you've never read it, I invite you to. It's a little book called Memoirs of an Ordinary Pastor. It's by a guy by the name of Don Carson. He's a Canadian theologian, and he wrote it about his dad, Tom, who was a church planner in Quebec, a very spiritually hard place. Even today, it's still a very spiritually hard place. It's always been an encouragement to me in spiritually hard areas of the world. And as he was in this church, they had people from overseas come and try to do some missions work. They had been kicked out of a particular country in Africa, and they went to Quebec because they were French speakers and knew the language and thought, well, what we did in Africa, we'll do here in Quebec. And Don says that not one of them lasted 6 months. These missionaries who came from Africa and had seen so much went to Quebec, and they left because they weren't seeing any fruit. They were just seeing a lot of hard-hearted people, and they weren't sure what to do with that, and so they left. They weren't persistent in their faith. And at one point, he asks his dad about it. Don was in high school at the time, and he says, "Always the weakest of men," Dad replied rather mildly, "Don, you have to understand that they have been used to serving in a part of the world where they have seen much blessing. They are used to considerable crowds. They have built clinics and hospitals, and they have seen many people converted and helped to train pastors and teach them. Then they arrive here and find everything to be interminably slow. How are they likely to read this except to conclude that they must have misunderstood their call to Quebec, since no fruit seems to be coming?" And then Don asked, "So," I replied, "why don't you go to some part of the world where there would be much fruit instead of staying here and producing so little fruit, Dad?" Until then, the conversation had been casual, but now my dad wheeled on me and said rather curtly, "I stay because I believe that God has many people in this place." Referring, of course, to the encouragement that God gave to Paul in Corinth. Friends, a persistent faith calls us to make sacrifices. And for Tom Carson, he made the sacrifice. And as he made the sacrifice, it inspired his son to follow after Jesus and become a theologian. Did Tom know that at the time? Of course not. He just knew, I need to be obedient to the call that God has given me. And in the same way, I think sometimes we think that it should be easy, that the Christian life should be easy. And Jesus invites us to see the faith of this woman and say, keep going. Keep persisting. When you don't totally know what's happening, keep walking with me. And one day, you won't just see the crumb. You'll be seated at the table with the whole loaf of bread, gathered and laughing and celebrating all that I did in those times where you didn't totally get it. Persist with me. Walk with me. Because you know that in the end, it will all be worth it. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that Jesus persisted in his faith. We thank you for this woman who shows us this persistence, and we thank you for Jesus who ultimately showed it at the cross where he gave his life for us. Father, help us to persist in our faith. When we don't understand what's going on, help us to respond in faith, knowing that you will be with us. We pray this in the name of God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen.